听力课堂，听 class.com。
Wonderful life.
滋味人生。
The audacity of hope. Thoughts on reclaiming the American dream.
无畏的希望，重生美国梦，节选。
Chapter 8.Family. Hi, Daddy. Hey, sweetie pie. It's Friday afternoon, and I'm home early to look after the girls while Michelle goes to the hairdresser. I gather up Malia in a hug and notice a blonde girl in our kitchen, peering at me through a pair of oversized glasses. Who's this? I ask, setting Malia back on the floor. This is Sam. She's over for a playdate. Hi, Sam. I offer Sam my hand.And she considers it for a moment before shaking it loosely. Malia rolls her eyes. Listen, Daddy, you don't shake hands with kids.
You don't?
No, Malia says. Not even teenagers shake hands. You may not have noticed, but this is the 21st century. Malia looks at Sam, who represses a smirk.
So what do you do in the 21st century, I ask?
You just say, hey. Sometimes you wave. That's pretty much it.
I see. I hope I didn't embarrass you.
Malia smiles.
That's okay, Daddy. You didn't know, because you're used to shaking hands with grown-ups.
That's true.
Where's your sister?
She's upstairs.
I walk upstairs to find Sasha standing in her underwear and a pink top. She pulls me down for a hug, and then tells me she can't find any shorts. I check in the closet and find a pair of blue shorts sitting right on top of her chest of drawers.
What are these? I ask her.
Sasha frowns, but reluctantly takes the shorts from me and pulls them on.
These shorts aren't comfortable, Daddy.
We go back into Sasha's closet, open the drawer again, and find another pair of shorts, also blue. How about these? I ask. Sasha frowns again. Standing there, she looks like a 3-foot version of her mother. Malia and Sam walk in to observe the standoff.
Sasha doesn't like either of those shorts.Malia explains.
I turn to Sasha and ask her why. She looks up at me warily, taking my measure.
Pink and blue don't go together, she says finally.
Malia and Sam giggle. I try to look as stern as Michelle might look in such circumstances, and tell Sasha to put on the shorts. She does what I say, but I realize she's just indulging me. When it comes to my daughters, no one is buying my tough guy routine. Like many men today,I grew up without a father in the house. My mother and father divorced when I was only 2 years old, and for most of my life I knew my father only through the letters he sent and the stories my mother and grandparents told. There were men in my life, a stepfather with whom we lived for 4 years, and my grandfather, who along with my grandmother helped raise me the rest of the time, and both were good men who treated me with affection. But my relationships with them were necessarily partial, incomplete.I determined that my father's irresponsibility towards his children, my stepfather's remoteness, and my grandfather's failures would all become object lessons for me, and that my own children would have a father they could count on. In the most basic sense, I've succeeded. My marriage is intact, and my family is provided for. I attend parent-teacher conferences and dance recitals, and my daughters bask in my adoration. And yet...Of all the areas of my life, it is in my capacities as a husband and father that I entertain the most doubt. And so I do my best to answer the accusation that floats around in my mind, that I am selfish, that I do what I do to feed my own ego or fill a void in my heart. When I'm not out of town, I try to be home for dinner, to hear from Malia and Sasha about their day, to read to them and tuck them into bed. It is left to Michelle to coordinate all the children's activities.Which she does with a general's efficiency. When I can, I volunteer to help, which Michelle appreciates, although she is careful to limit my responsibilities. The day before Sasha's birthday party this past June, I was told to procure 20 balloons, enough cheese pizzas to feed 20 kids, and ice. Feeling less confident, I got on the internet. By the time the guests showed up the next day, the balloons were in place and the juice boxes on ice.I had a slight scare when at 3:50 the pizzas had not yet arrived, but the delivery person got there 10 minutes before the time the children were scheduled to eat. Michelle's brother Craig, knowing the pressure I was under, gave me a high five. Michelle looked up from putting pizzas on the paper plates and smiled. As a grand finale, the gymnastics instructor gathered all the kids around an old multicolored parachute and told Sasha to sit at its center. On the count of three, Sasha was hoisted up into the air and back down again, then up for a second time, and then for a third. And each time she rose above the billowing sail, she laughed and laughed with a look of pure joy. I wonder if Sasha will remember that moment when she has grown. Probably not. It seems as if I can retrieve only the barest fragments of memory from when I was five. But I suspect that the happiness she felt on that parachute registers permanently in her, that such moments accumulate, embed themselves in a child's character, becoming a part of their soul. Is there a better legacy than that? Sometimes, when I listen to Michelle talk about her father, I hear the echo of such joy in her, a love and respect that Fraser Robinson earned not through fame or spectacular deeds, but through small, daily, ordinary acts, a love he earned by being there. And I ask myself whether my daughters will be able to speak of me in that same way.
Notes. Warily.
小心的,警惕的.
Irresponsibility.
无责任.
Object lesson.
实物教学.
Intact.
完整无缺的.
Bask.
感到温暖,愉快或舒适.
Accusation.
谴责,指控.
Efficiency.
效率,功效.
Parachute.
降落伞.
Retrieve.
重新得到.
Embed.
深留,嵌入.